Word with us today. So, Rich, we're just anxious to hear what the Lord has to speak through you today. God bless you.
And so am I. And so am I. In his presence is fullness of joy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Pardon? It's not on? Well, how about now?
You're on.
Coming loud and through. Coming through loud, right? Okay. Can you agree that there's good traditions and maybe not so good traditions? Can you agree with that? Okay. We're going to have some, we're going to get off out of the box here. Okay. Everybody go to a chair they've never sat in right now. Right now. You just said some traditions. What does it matter what chair you're sitting in, right? Okay? Jackson, you're out there. All right, good man. Sit in a chair. Come on. I'm not starting until you move. Look at Debbie. She came to the front row. Has everybody changed? Oh, Sherry's over in this section. Don't you always sit there?
No, back here.
Oh, she went one row. The reason for this is this. Oscar said, he called me Thursday, he says, do you want this week or next week? And I said, next week. Because, I didn't have a thing. And I thought, you know, that is the comfortable thing to do. Next week, right? Gives you more time. Anybody that's ever spoken, and you that haven't spoke, it gives you more time, right? And you know, it's that Linus security blanket, you know? And so basically, I woke up this morning and said, it's this morning. And so I don't have anything planned. I've got a couple things he gave me. I'm going to read something that I thought was that I read during the week that I thought was just perfect for wings. But, you know, the traditions of men, of course, sometimes isn't good. You know, I mean, there are some traditions that are great. We have order. You got to have order in the worship service. So we have order. Thing I love about wings, thing I love about our pastor is he allows Jim Wilson to come up and give a testimony. A lot of churches, that's not going to happen, right? Okay? And so this church, it does. And that's why I love this church, is because we, the sons of God, are led by the Spirit. Okay? So, I guess basically, I'm going to kind of just throw some things out. I would like this to be a non-traditional time. You know, in Sunday school, we speak forth, right? Yes. If you have something to say, speak forth. Okay? That's kind of where I kind of want this to go here. And I just feel that the Lord has just said, you know, what's the scripture? And I didn't even write it down, but, you know, give an account of the joy or the hope that lies within you. In other words, if someone asks of it, give that hope. Okay? So this, I don't know if there's a title, but it would be like, what's God doing in you and through you? Okay? What is God speaking to you? What is God saying to you? And so, you know, I want to hear, whether it be now, in the middle, at the end, whenever, you know, we all benefit from each other, a voice of many waters, so we all benefit from that. But God has gotten me out of my comfort zone here because, you know, I love to break down words. And I didn't go to Strong's this morning for one word, and that's a first for me. So that's really breaking out of my mold, you know. So that's, he's always prepared, you know, had me to prepare 8-9 pages. I usually get maybe through 6. Okay, so I have a couple things that I'm going to read later on, but that's it. So, he reminded me of this seminar I went to where I had to conduct a seminar, and what I had to do on this seminar was help people with their elevator speech. Okay, have you ever heard that expression, an elevator speech? What that is if you got on the elevator with someone and someone said, what do? You have something that you share with them, and it's very short. It's very concise. You kind of get a feel for your audience. If you go to a business meeting and there's 70 business owners and you're asked to stand up and say, what does your business do? Well, it's not quite like that with the Lord, but in a way it is. The only difference is he already knows the audience that you're speaking to, and he will give you the words to say. And so when you are speaking about the Lord, and I guess this is a challenge to everybody, is let's ask the Lord more if we're not already doing it. When we come into peak contact with people, whether it be at the grocery store or wherever, Lord, what would you have me to say? And sometimes it'll be nothing. You know, some good elevator speeches would be holding the door for someone to let them onto the elevator. And a big smile and say, God bless you, or whatever. Other times, you might have an audience that's someone in front of you that says that you basically have been given a word from the Lord. I mean, we do operate in gifts, right? And you may have a word of deliverance for that person. But we get so caught up in our stuff that sometimes we miss opportunities to bless others. The Lord makes everything easy for us, doesn't he? I mean, seriously. It's not easy to walk it out, but it's easy to understand. And also, the word he gave me was be instant in season and out. So whether we're in, a situation or we're standing up here, he will give you the words to say, and that's the thing you want to count on. I think there's situations that are going to come up this year for all of us that will be open doors. I believe we're going to have some open doors where we can talk not only to them. It's not bad inviting them to church. That's not a bad thing. It's not bad to talk about wings. You know, I know a lot of people, when you say, hey, are you a Christian? Yeah, I go to this church, and this is my pastor, and all that. And you don't hear about Jesus. But after you talk about Jesus, let's also talk about wings and invite them in. Y'all do that? Yeah, why not? Okay. When I was little, real little, we'd have picnics and there'd be watermelon. And it had seeds all through it. And I said, I don't really like the seeds, but I kind of like the watermelon. And one time that I was real little, and the neighbor guy came up and said, well, if you accidentally swallow any of those seeds, you're going to have watermelons growing up, and vines will be coming up out of you. And I was young enough at the time that I didn't really believe him, but kind of believed him. And so I didn't eat watermelon. I just did not eat it. And as I got a little older, it was like I would eat a little bit of it, and the seeds, if you swallowed it, you knew it wasn't going to hurt you. You didn't want to swallow the seeds, but, And then now, of course, it doesn't matter. I love watermelon. And I had no clue that God was showing me a spiritual side of that. And, we want those seeds of Christ to grow and take root and bring forth much fruit. And the seeds, sometimes the seeds you think aren't that good for you, but they are. They're very good for you, and more importantly, they're good for others. I guess where God makes it simple is there's only two men. There's Adam, and there's Jesus, the last Adam. And this is when I was talking to someone in my office this week where she was a Seventh-day Adventist. And, you know, if you know them, Saturday is the Sabbath, and they're big on the Sabbath. That's their big, big time. And they would never worship on Sunday. They would only worship on Saturday. So, you know, we just, you know, kind of cut through all that. And I just said, you know, Lord makes it easy. There's two men. There's Adam and there's Jesus, the last Adam, right? And, you know, we find ourselves right there in the middle. Okay? And, you know, it is finished. We already know what's going to come of us. We look at Jesus, and Jesus was the pattern son, and we're going to be like him. Like the prayer that the Lord prayed was, make them one as you and I are one, when he prayed to the Father. But what happens is we get off into this other thing, and we know it's finished, but we're still walking this thing out. We're still, the manifestation hasn't quite come yet. But we know it's coming, right? So what happens is we have these two men here, and, you know, the scriptures are clear. There's a soul that is involved, and that soul is female. It's Suke. Even has two female names, Suke. And Suke is your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, and what else? Is that it? Okay. So what happens is Suke gets there, and Suke is going one way or the other, right? And so what happens is we want to get the soul out of the way. That's our ultimate goal, is to get the soul out of the way so that we can then allow the spirit to move into that soul and lean that soul to the spirit side. So what God has been sharing with me is that there's a lot of things that try to get us off track, and we have to be aware of that. I'm going to read this thing from, have you ever heard of Bill and Marcia Burns? Anybody heard of them? They wrote this thing, and it was actually written in, I think, December 29th. And it's A Season of Wings. It's A Season of Wings and Its Symbols. And they go through five different things. One is God's wings. God's wings is his covering. In Psalm 61:4, it says, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Number two, the eagle. I mean, all these things we've heard at Wings here recently, right? I mean, everything, there's nothing here that we haven't heard. Now it's just, I think it's just bringing it all together. And I think things are happening right now. I just believe that, and I know we've heard that before, whatever, but there's so many things happening in here around the room here. Number two is the eagle. How many times we talked about the eagle? Represents a prophetic vision, identified in Revelation 4:7 as a flying eagle. Any comments on any of this, feel free to speak up. The dove is number three. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:16 says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And then Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Number four is angels, angelic help and protection. Ezekiel 1:24 says, when they went, I heard a noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. Number five, God's people, going higher. And of course, this is the wing scripture, Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Spread your wings and mount up. Purpose to go higher than you have before. It is time for elevation. This is the beginning of a time of elevation when you will need to set your sights on higher ground. If you will activate your faith in this direction, your access to spiritual revelation and growth will be amazing. You must, however, make a deliberate decision to receive the greatest benefit of this season. So basically, wings, the doors are going to be opening here. I think they already have, and I think we've already seen it. I think they're going to continue to open. The last thing I'm going to go to is 2 Samuel 22:2. And Mike and I discussed this on the radio. Where's Mike? Oh, there he is. Okay. And on 22:2, if you there's all the different versions, it says, he said, the Lord, let me go back. When I was praising the Lord about a month ago, he gave me this, all of the above. You know, you take a multiple choice test, you have A, B, C, and then all of the above or none of the above. And what he was showing me is that with Christ, you get all of the above, all the things that we hear, all those wonderful things, and we're going to read 9 of them here. Here's 9 things that you get with Jesus. The Lord is my rock. In David's case, it was his escape from Saul. He is my fortress in the wilderness and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in him will I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and the refuge, my Savior, you will save me from violence. The message says, God is bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live, my rescuing knight, my God, the high crag, which is a rock, where I run for dear life, hiding behind the boulders, safe in the granite hideout, my mountaintop refuge. He saves me from the ruthless men. We talked in Sunday school about the enemies. You know, the enemies are sometimes us, and other times the enemies could be what other people are going through. This will help them with their enemies and their what they're going through. But all in all, you know, I guess the one last thing I want to say is in is Psalms 18. It's the same thing, only it's a little different. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Of course, we sing that song. Well, what's God talking to you about? What's God saying to you? What's God working in you? Anybody want to share anything that the Lord is dealing with you or sharing? Sherry?
I had this little thing happen at work, and it was a small thing, but when Rich was talking, came to my mind. He called me. This guy called me. He was very apprehensive about what he had to ask me. And on my voicemail at work, it says, have a blessed day, and I've always done that. Mm-hmm. You kind of just do it without even thinking. So I had to call him back, and when I called him back, he goes, you know, I was so nervous about calling you because I'm just a farmer. I don't know anything about this. It's some technical thing at work, but he said, but when I heard you say, have a blessed day, I felt I had a friend. And you know, we don't have to have this big scriptures to throw out. We just, something that simple rang true to his heart, and it made me feel good.
That's good. Yeah, just something like that. There's a lot of people, like at the end of their email, they'll have something like, have a blessed day or something. And whenever I see that, it sparks a conversation. Usually I'll call them and talk to them, and it'll bring that into the conversation somewhere, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, I was told that I was on the borderline of being diabetic. And you go about 3 or 4 times a year for your blood work. And when you go in, you go fasting, and the numbers were always too high, so they would always call me back in a couple days later when the results came in. I'm sorry. And so that happened for about a year. And I woke up one day, about a year later, with the spirit so strong, the second I opened my eyes, the words came, "No disease shall come nigh thee." Now, I wasn't thinking about a doctor visit. I wasn't thinking about diabetes. Wasn't thinking of all those things. But about 2 weeks later, went to the doctor for my normal blood work, and I shared that with the doctor. Well, you get a lot of raised eyebrows through that, but that's the word that I had. Every visit that I've had since then, I've never had to be recalled back in 3 days later. Didn't have to. Now, the doctor tried to take that right away. Well, you were just thinking about that before you were called in. I said, no, I wasn't. You know, and what I want to share basically is when you receive a word, you hold on to that word. You don't let your mind tell you that was not so. You don't let a doctor, you don't let anyone tell you anything different, but you stand on that word. Now, Monday of this past week, I went in again. Next day, got the results. My numbers were terrible. Did I get to call back in? No. Because I'm still standing on that word that no disease shall come nigh thee.
That's right.
So when you get that word in your heart, you hold on to that word. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter what the test results are. Doesn't matter what the doctor tries to tell you. They'll try to take that blessing right away. But you stand faith on that. You know, I'm sorry. You stand firm on that word that you've received.
There's also not a timing to that. In other words, today, tomorrow. I mean, there's been words that you've received that hasn't even come true yet, haven't even come to fruition yet. They haven't manifested. But hold on to that, because it will come today, tomorrow, the next day, a week from now, two years from now. But that word will make itself real and will manifest. Okay, who else? Rob, you got anything to say? No? Okay. Brenda does.
A couple years ago, I was at great niece's basketball games, and I had shared with Rich, and I'd seen the referee going down and doing this, and I didn't know what he was doing. And God was showing me how he was timing, counting. Mm-hmm. Well, last week, me and Charles and a buddy went to another great nephew's basketball game, and I have said it off and on to Sue, but I really kind of forgot about it. And there come the referee down, and God reminded me, and he said, "Remember, all things are in my time, my timing." And like when he gives a word, you may think it's right now, or then you're wondering when it's going to come, you know, to pass. But it's in his timing that he manifests that which he has spoken to you. So when you see this, remember God's timing.
That's right. The fullness of time. When that comes, nothing's going to stop it. Two more, three more, whatever. What's God doing or speaking to you, Mr. Morgan?
I don't even need that. Yesterday, not 2 years ago, not a month ago, but yesterday, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. The Lord was telling me about today. And you know what? It was so real. I got up and started writing. I got a pencil and a paper, and I started writing. And I thought it was really funny, because God does all things well. And as Jim was speaking up there, the Lord is telling me, he said, "You need to tell him what I told you yesterday." And what he told me yesterday, today is not the day of healing. Now, a lot of you aren't going to like that, but listen to how the Holy Spirit explains that. He said, but it is, today is the day of salvation. And when you get into salvation, guess what comes with it? Healing does. And if you will get into salvation so much, and I looked the word salvation up in the Strong's, and it just doesn't mean saved and stuff like that, but it means strength, it means healing, it means all these things that we don't even really possess in our lives that God wants us to, because I believe really we settle for so much less than what God has already given us. Mm-hmm. And what he wants us to do, even in talking to me, is what he wants us to do is be encouraged in the Lord. And quit thinking that you need somebody to call you. Quit thinking that you need to get a whole group of people to agree with you. The Lord said, encourage yourself in him. And yourself. He wants you to know you're a vital part of the body. Encourage yourself. And Lil, as we were talking this morning, the Lord was showing me, even when he closed doors, it's meant for good. Even when you don't get a test that you think you should have, it's meant for good. It's meant for that he be lifted up. Amen. That he would draw men to us. When the salvation of the Lord comes in the day of salvation, today is the day of salvation. That'll be the day you receive your healing. I mean, you know, we're going to get wrapped up in anything, like you said. Let's get wrapped up into the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
He's awesome.
You know, what happens is, we know it's finished. It's Jesus said it. We believe it. It's up here, but is it in here? And once it gets in here, then we'll start seeing more of the manifestation of that. And we'll start seeing that what the good work he began in us will be completed. Yes. It is completed, but we have to see the manifestation of that. And that is a process. I think Julie had something.
Didn't you ask a question about, like, how we spread the word or operate something?
You know, if it says be instant in season, out of season, and be ready and willing to give an account of the hope that lies within.
Right.
And so, you know, we can do that with words. We can do that with actions. We can do that with a lot of different ways. But we're, most of the time, you know, we want to. I'm saying sometimes we just blurt it out, but we want to listen for the Lord and listen for his words to speak to that person, because then we know their words of life and they will make, you know, the right impact.
Right. Well, what I wanted to say is what I've always done my whole life. I've never been one to preach to people, and I don't want to come off like that, because a lot of people I don't think are receptive to that at all, and I don't like it when people try to preach to me. What I've always done is I've always listened to people. I've never been accusatory or pass judgment, whether I agree or disagree. I listen and I try to be there for people. And I do little things. I work at a doctor's office now. I've just came off of a year and a half at a nursing home, and it's mainly geared towards the elderly, but I always just try to help them put their groceries in their car, get something off the shelf, help them find something.
Service.
Right.
The ministry of helps. It's a lot of times the ministry of helps is an overlooked ministry because,
right,
you know, you're not preaching, teaching.
Yeah, and it makes their day, and they're like, you know, just do something nice for somebody. Like, a lot of times it's at the grocery store, as weird as it may sound, it's always like at a grocery store we get somebody that's handicapped in one of those electric chairs, and I'll help them load their stuff or help them count their money. I mean, the simplest things that we take for granted they can't do or they can't see. And I just think that a lot of times people, you know, get overlooked for doing little things like that. It's not always, you know, having the Bible out and being, you know, preaching per se, or you like more like you do, Rich. I'm not like you. I'm not going to get on a conversation at work about Bible verses and all that. I'm not going to do that, because that's just not me. However, I do it in other ways, and I listen, and I'm always there for people, and I don't condemn people, and I think that's the biggest thing, because I've gone through things in my life and people have passed judgment on me, and I refuse to do that to other people. And I think my parents raised my sister and I to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And that's what I just try to follow. And for me, that's, I think, if you live by that every day, it makes a big difference.
Jesus said, owe no man nothing but to love him. You know, I mean, when it all comes down to it, that's the scripture. That love conquers all. The greatest of these is love. Can never go wrong in that, you know, loving others. Anybody else? Parker? Nope. Debbie?
I wasn't going to say anything, but...
Okay, I knew you were. I could see.
It kind of goes along with what Clyde said. The other day, Josh and I were talking just about stuff in the family, and he goes, Mom, you're the healthiest one in the family. And I'm like, oh... Oh, Lord, help us all. And I don't know if you remember this. I told you when Clyde had his original heart surgery, I was laying in bed one night just fretting. You know, what if this, what if that? And we got bills to pay, and he's off work. And when my spirit calmed down, the Lord said to me, you have a Savior. You know, and that's all we need. Our Savior is our provision. He's our financier. He's our doctor. He's whatever mm-hmm. we need.
Yep.
He's our salvation in every circumstance. And one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the phone this week talking to insurance people on the phone. If you've ever done that, you can, you know, it drives you wild. You go from menu to this person to that person. And I won't tell you what I did because it's too embarrassing, but I blew my top, and God is good because no one was there to see me, and I thought someone was hearing me, but they didn't. I was, like, muted or something, and when I got off the phone, I thought, oh, I can't believe the level of anger that was there, and just thank you, Lord, that you're working it out and and that you are merciful and forgive us. And deal with that.
There's a lot of people laughing, so I think they might identify with what you're saying here. I love what Brother Hiles says. Brother Hiles says that, you know, that through this exodus, you know, God is just absolutely doing everything to deliver his people from Egypt. And now he's trying to get Egypt out of his people. So I love that. That just narrows it right down to the, hits the target right there. So God's going to pull all that Egypt out of us. You know, he's going to take it all out when he does. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Thanks for putting up with me today, because as I said, this was just a step of faith on my part to, and you all look funny in different seats, by the way.
Yeah. Rich, can
no,
I
it looks
a,
great.
Can I read a scripture?
Oh, absolutely. Come on up.
I just want to read the scripture. I think it's excellent.
Would you pray then?
Yeah, I will. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. This is Psalm 139, 1 through 18, and this is out of the New Living Translation of the Bible. And this will go along with a little bit of what you said, Debbie. O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or I stand up. You know my thoughts even though I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Aren't you glad he knows? You know, he loves us anyway. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, and if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, and the light around me would become like the night. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You make all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watch me as I'm being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Wow. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. What a tremendous word. Wow. Praise the Lord. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Father. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you for your body sharing here today. What a wonderful thing it was and is when your people just tell of your glory and the things that you're doing in their life. And, Father, I just ask you to just bless your people abundantly. And, Father, as we go back to share a meal together, just bless your people and just bless their fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.